Pene pene te kura ho te kura whanakai te kura raro awarua ko te kura nui ko te kura roa ko te kura nātu haipo tenei te tira ho tenei haramai nei.
Clapping takes time. Sorry, but I needed that more than you. You know, it's amazing what sort of power this thing has over your life, and when you lose it, you lose it. As you can see, this is the title of the presentation, and I can see that 15 minutes in actuality goes a lot faster than 15 minutes in my mind. Okay. So this presentation represents collaboration of five community groups: the National Tongan American Society, the Best of Africa, a group of African immigrants, the Hispanic Healthcare Task Force, Calvary Baptist Church, and of course the Urban Indian Center of Salt Lake, where I work. But also important to this collaboration is of course the Utah Department of Health, a state agency, the University of Utah, and also Utah Women's Health Coalition. The contributors to this presentation are so listed, but you know, all in all, I'm the one who decides what's being said, right? The disclaimer is, first of all, I don't know why they chose me, because I'm probably the least significant of all the people in this organization, and also I hate standing at a podium. I like to be walking around the room, because I'm a teacher, or I was a teacher. Well, I guess I still am a teacher. And the other thing is, and I don't know if you're going to get this, I like to wear cologne, because if I smell good, then I don't smell bad. And not being able to put cologne on in the morning is kind of hard. And besides that, I really don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to have to rely on you to make up the gaps for me. My acknowledgements are, I need to recognize the Community-Based Health Coalition for originally getting me involved with this conference, and also to the Utah Department of Health Tobacco Prevention and Control Program, who paid my way here because I couldn't afford to do it myself, and also CFU, or the Community Faces of Utah. Now, I was born into the Ngapuhi tribe from the Taitokerau district of Aotearoa, New Zealand, and I apologize for giving tongue twisters to people. I'm a member of the Te Whiu sub-tribes on my father's side and the Te Pōpoto sub-tribe on my mother's side. And how I found my way to Salt Lake City is a long story that we're not going to get to. But I was born in this area that you see here in the Bay of Islands, which is at the top of the North Island of New Zealand. And I assure you, it is a long way away from here, not only in terms of miles, but also in terms of philosophy and experience. Now, the beginnings of this project started with Heather Iono and Louisa Starks. Louisa Starks is the co-director of community-based health research at the University of Utah, and Heather Iono is a former student of mine at the University of Utah. And the health manager at our organization says, well, you know, we've got some people who want to talk to you because we don't want to take on the project. Well, being as Heather was a student of mine, I have a lifelong commitment to any students that were in my class, that were in any of my classes. And so I had to listen to what she had to say. And they wanted to the Indian Walk-In Center, as it was called, to be involved in a genetics project and to create a community forum. Okay, now let me tell you, some of you already might know this, and a lot of what I'm going to say is not new to a lot of you. American Indians don't like the term genetics. And they don't like the term research, because they've been geneticized and researched for a long time and have not really derived any benefits from such research. So immediately I says, we've got to change that term genetics. It's not going to sell. So after thinking, I came up with a term that's inherited health, because it allows for a discussion on the health that we inherit through our biology, but also the health that we inherit through our lifestyles and our lifestyle practices. And let me tell you, there's this whole gray area in between. So they called us together. And now the top photo on that side on the extreme side is Valentin Mukundente, who is a member of the Best of Africa. Beside her in the purple is Sylvia Ricard, and on the other side is Fahina Pasi. And then in the photo on this side is a photo, not a good photo, of Reverend Davis from the Calvary Baptist Church and his assistant Dorina. Now, and of course, I'm in there somewhere. So these were the five original people that were brought in. And I'm just going to make one comment about it because in the interest of time. These people have very strong personalities. I don't want to say they're opinionated, but they have very strong personalities. And I was always afraid of Reverend Davis, Pastor Davis. You know, because it's the Calvary Baptist Church, and I was thinking, you know, he's up there and he's going to be doing all sorts of things. And of course, as I mentioned, there's myself. Fahina is, Reverend Davis has probably got the largest profile in our state for an African American man. Very highly respected and very highly honored. Sylvia is always lobbying on the national level for women's breast health. And Fahina is probably one of the strongest leaders in the Tongan community. And then there's just little old me. Now, getting these people together is in and of itself a challenge. Now, the community forum that was developed brought these five communities together. And the health issues that were discussed were cancer, diabetes, and heart health. Now, this is what was interesting with this first experience, and this was about 3 or 4 years ago, is that those subjects represented three workshops. Each workshop was introduced by a community member who also talked about how that particular issue affected their own lives. And, of course, I did diabetes because I'm a diabetic. Now, after this session was over, somehow or another, and that's another long story, the Utah Department of Health became involved. The person on the far side is Brenda Rolls, a PhD epidemiologist, and the young man on this side is a PhD student in public health, and they found their way into the organization. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And then we were strengthened by more people from the University of Utah campus, including Dr. Steve Adler, who is also involved in community health, and a very important person at the University of Utah. And then Kathleen DeGree, who is an MD that is simultaneously an ophthalmologist and also a neurologist. Now, let me tell you, when she came to introduce a project this presentation is about, I had no idea who she was. I knew she was an MD, and I just interrogated her like you'd never believe, because that's my role in the group. Okay, now we develop a unique relationship and shared values. First of all, we worked together, and this required new negotiations within the group and also with the University of Utah and the Department of Health. And I'm not going to go into these in great detail, except this one. Congruency is a very important value. None of us are going to compromise. You know that, because we're all kind of like strong-willed. But we find that we can walk along the same path together with the same goal, and that's at the heart of congruency. We had to establish common ground by knowing more about each other. And as each new organization came in to run a project for us, they would talk about their project, blah, blah, blah. But then at the end, when we asked them to talk about themselves, that made the big difference. Now, Dr. DeGree talks about bidirectional learning, how, you know, academics can learn from community people and vice versa. And I don't completely agree with that. I believe in multi-directional learning, because even as community leaders, we need to learn from the members of our community. So this conversation is going in several directions all at once. It's not bidirectional, it's multi-directional. Also, we espouse the value of horizontality versus verticality. Verticality meaning that, you know, knowledge comes from above down to us who are here. But instead, when we come around the table, our knowledge comes horizontally and it's valued equally. And of course, the seven domains of health, as you see there, physical, social, emotional, intellectual, environmental, financial, and, oops, what did I do? And spiritual. That's something that generates our activities. But, you know, the native people says, well, finally they're catching up to us because we've been dealing with the physical, mental, social, and spiritual, and all those seven domains actually fit in there. But it's important to know, and I think we're beginning to realize, that the divisions between these domains don't exist. They're actually very fluid, aren't they? Okay, and as a result of that, we've been able to do group presentations, and when we're able to, the whole group comes and presents. I'm the only one here today, and we won't go into that, but it's given us opportunity to have exposure on the national level through poster presentations and through other types of presentations. Okay, now here's an interesting thing, because I kind of came up with this idea that I thought this was something that was working. So let's have someone do an evaluation on it and write a paper. So we had focus groups, and let me tell you, I hate focus groups. I hate research, which is amazing because I was a researcher by trade, right? But this is an interesting thing that happened. We had our focus group with the community leaders, and first of all, the person who interviewed us, I wasn't connecting until I made her talk about herself, and as she talked about herself, she had Jewish ancestry, and you know that gave us somewhere to common ground on which to walk when we talk about our histories. Yes, but the other thing was, when I got home, I realized that our organization has no structure. We don't have a chairperson, we don't have a vice chair, we don't have a secretary or a treasurer. We have a facilitator who's Heather, who prints out the agendas and decides where we're going to meet and brings food to eat. And that's about the structure that we had. Now, we also got to the point where a lot of people were coming to us and saying, we want to be involved, or we want you to look at projects. And the problem was that we didn't want to get too big and too out of control, so we changed our identity. We're still the Community Faces of Utah, but we identify ourselves as five specific organizations. Okay, you know, you can look at the project because, but the mission statement was to reduce obesity. We had focus group, social determinants. These are the topics that we came up with, and I'm not that comfortable with that, right? Because I think it should come within the community. These were the findings. And these are not new to you, I don't think. Okay, so you can look at that online. And we had to develop new language and new terms. For example, inherited health instead of genetics. And a new term which became a new role is wellness coaches. So we train women within the community to become wellness coaches to help improve the health of their groups. Now, what's important is that we also decided that the purpose of our project was to turn mothers and families to health coaches for their families, because from our research, it seems to be that the mothers and families have a lot to do with the health of the family. Cultural competency is another subject. Let me say this. The project recommended that we acculturate those who provide services for the subpopulations. Well, you know, if the people can't go and get the services because they don't have access, no sense in making these people culturally competent. So we had to bring that into the discussion. Evaluations, the Office of Women's Health said, this is what you need to do. We said, no. We know what we need to show. And more importantly, we need to ask the women in our groups how their project should be evaluated, rather than have someone from above who doesn't know what's going on with us decide those for us. And there's a lot more to say, but that's right. There's me as the interrogator, and that's the only thing I'm good at, because we need to know why people are coming to do a project among our people. You know, is it self-serving? Is it to do good for the people, or is it because it's the right thing to do? We also want our participants in our project to have input in future grants and what we should look for. Replicability, I don't know. You're going to have to find strong people in your communities to do the same thing. Have a common cause, common ground, become congruent and understand multidirectional and horizontality. And I think that's it. Whew. Thank you.